You know, in order to understand this passage of Scripture, I think we need to understand some of the background. Let's look at verse 1 again. It says, "Now it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up to Jerusalem to make war against it, but could not prevail against it. And it was told to the house of David, saying, Syria's forces are deployed in Ephraim. So his heart and the heart of his people were moved as trees of the woods are moved with the wind. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, go out to meet Ahaz, you and Shear Jezbab, your son, at the end of the aqueduct, from the upper pool on the highway to the fuller's field." In order to understand this passage, let me explain the situation that surrounds the meeting between Ahaz and Isaiah. After the death of Solomon, the nation of Israel split into two. The northern section, called Israel, also referred to in this passage as Ephraim, and the southern section, which is referred to as Judah. Israel and Syria, the northern part of Israel, and Syria had joined forces to combat the threat of the Assyrian empire. These two countries had fought with Judah in the past, but now wanted Judah to join forces with them to protect them against Assyria. So what we have is a situation where there's four kingdoms involved. Judah on the bottom of Israel, northern Israel, which is called Israel, Syria, and then Assyria, okay? And so Assyria was gaining power, and Israel and Syria were fighting to keep their territory. They had fought before with Judah to combat Assyria. They had fought together against Judah, but now they were asking for Judah's help to fight Assyria. So that's the background. Now, the king of Judah at the time said that they would not fight against Assyria and join forces with Syria and Israel. Because of that refusal, Syria and Israel decided to attack Judah. At the sound of this, at the idea of this, or at the notice of this, Ahaz, the king of Judah, is very troubled. He's distressed. And so are the people of Judah. They're extremely distressed. As a matter of fact, they are so distraught and anxious over the idea of being attacked by Israel and Syria that the Bible says that their hearts were moved as trees that the wind blows. So on a windy day like today, or we've had several windy days, if you were to look out on the trees, you would see them swaying back and forth. Well, that is the condition of the hearts of Ahaz and the people of Judah. Their hearts were moved in a way that troubled them and distressed them. Certainly, this was a situation, a problem, and a difficulty that gave them great anxiety and grief. Yet we see God take this opportunity to speak to Ahaz and the people of Judah. The Lord decides this is a good time to give Ahaz an object lesson. He tells Isaiah to go with his son to the fuller's field and meet Ahaz there. I find it interesting that God chose this time to talk to Ahaz. Ahaz was a wicked king. He was not a good guy. Sweetie, if you could just turn me down a little bit, I'm echoing a little bit. Ahaz was not a good guy. He was a wicked king. Ahaz had worshipped false gods. And he had led the people away from God. But the Lord didn't give up on Ahaz. Aren't you glad that the Lord doesn't give up on us? I'm glad that he didn't give up on me. I'm glad that he reaches out to us in spite of our sin, in spite of our sinfulness. He reaches out to us, and sometimes he uses these circumstances in our lives, these difficult circumstances in our lives, as a time to get us to see him, as a time for us to trust him and to be close to him and to repent of our wicked ways. God was going to use this problem that Ahaz was facing to try and draw Ahaz close to him. Often in our own lives, God will use problems we are facing to help us in our relationship with him. As we look at this passage, I want us to see how God dealt with Ahaz. So when a problem is at our doorstep, we will remember what God wants to do for us in the face of our problem. Now let's look at verse 4. It says, "And say to him, take heed and be quiet. Do not fear or be faint-hearted, for these two stubs of smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin and Syria, and the son of Remaliah, because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have plotted evil against you, saying, let us go up against Judah and trouble it, and let us make a gap in its wall for ourselves, and set a king over them, the son of Tabal. Thus says the Lord God, it shall not stand, nor shall it come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. Within 65 years, Ephraim will be broken, so that it will not be a people. The head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If you will not believe, surely you shall not be established." Now, the first thing I want us to notice is when a problem is at your doorstep, remember God wants to encourage you. God wants to encourage you. I love how God talked to Ahaz. Now, he didn't say to Ahaz, "I told you so." He didn't say, "I'm going to get you now." He didn't say that. It would have been a perfect time or opportunity for God to say that. But that's not what God did. God doesn't deal with people like that. He wants to deal with people in a loving way and try and get them to come to him, to trust in him, to rely on him. So God didn't say those things. What he did say was this. Notice the comforting words that he gives to a wicked king, Ahaz. He says, "Don't be afraid, Ahaz." God wanted Ahaz to have peace in the face of his problem. That's what God wants for you. God wants you to have peace in the face of your problems. That's what he wants for us. He wants us to have that peace that passes understanding. You say, "Well, how can I have peace when I have so many problems or have such a great problem?" Because you have a God who's bigger than those problems. You have a God who can do anything that needs to be done in order to get you through those problems. God also offered some perspective on Ahaz's problem. So God reveals the weakness of Syria and Israel by calling them two tails of smoking firebrands. The picture is of these two countries, they have spent all their strength on fighting other battles. Now, this is wonderful. Get this idea. Ahaz, all he can see is what is in front of him. That's all he can see. All he can see is two against one. Two countries against his one. That's all he can see. He can't see beyond that. You see, Ahaz had a problem. Ahaz was constantly dwelling in darkness. And so for Ahaz to see the light, it was difficult for him. He didn't have wisdom and understanding coming from the true and living God because he was too busy worshiping the false gods. And so we see that Ahaz really isn't understanding the perspective that God's given him, but God is trying to give it to him. And what he says to Ahaz is this: look, see, you need to understand some things. I'm going to give you a view from my perspective. And the view of God's perspective was that these guys were spent. These guys were not only spent, but their time was coming to an end. Their time was coming to an end. We see here that God offers a bigger picture for them to see. Often our problems seem bigger than they really are. So we need a little perspective. And God in his wisdom will give us more perspective. That's why we need to ask God for wisdom. We need to ask God for wisdom because we need that comfort that comes from a bigger perspective. A bigger perspective. So when God says in James chapter 1, verse 5, that if we ask for wisdom, he will give it to us liberally, one of the reasons that God gives us wisdom is so that we have a better perspective of our problems. So that we have a better picture of what really is going on in our lives. Because if we don't, we just dwell in darkness and our problems become proportionately bigger than they really are. And our problems can defeat us. They can defeat us because we're not seeing the whole picture like God wants us to. We're not seeing the perspective that he offers to us. So James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. Wisdom allows us to see things from God's perspective. You know, someone once said, if the only tool you have is a hammer, you will see every problem as a nail. If the only tool you have is a hammer, you will see every problem as a nail. I know a lot of people that think a hammer can fix everything, but you know, sometimes that's not the case, right, Ben? I mean, sometimes you need something besides a hammer to fix stuff. Well, God offers us more than just a hammer. He offers us a wide perspective and range of things that will help us with our problems. And sometimes that tool that he gives us is simply his perspective on things. During a class in his first year of graduate study at the University of California at Berkeley, George Danzing, later known as the father of linear programming, arrived late for a statistics class. He saw two problems on the blackboard. Assuming they were homework, he copied them and a few days later turned in his solutions. One Sunday morning, 6 weeks afterward, the professor appeared at Danzing's door, waving a manuscript. It turned out that the professor had merely written two examples of unsolvable problems on the blackboard. The manuscript was Danzig's work ready to be published. So this guy, he took a different perspective. He didn't look at those two problems on the board as impossible to solve. He looked at them as homework, and he solved them. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to look at what may seem like an impossible situation and have a bigger perspective. Have his perspective on things. And know that he can take care of all of our problems. And that he will take care of all of our problems. That is the God who has a personal relationship with us. Who wants to have that personal relationship with us. And so God also shows Ahaz something else. He shows Ahaz that time will show how insignificant this problem really is by saying that Ephraim will be broken within 65 years. This is exactly what happened. In 732 BC, Assyria defeated Syria, and in 722 BC, the Assyrians defeated Israel and repopulated it with people from other lands, just as God had told Ahaz. So, time has a way of solving problems. That's what God's telling us here. You know what? If you're my age, 49 years old, in 65 years, all your problems are going to be over. Amen? They're all going to be over. So, let's look at things from perspective of time. God is the solver of all problems throughout time. He really is. And we're going to see that. We're going to see that he is that problem solver. Ahaz had an opportunity. God was offering him this wonderful wisdom. And many times our problems seem bigger than they really are. But time will show us that they weren't as big as we actually thought. So when we are facing problems, let's gain some encouragement from the Lord by asking for his perspective through his wisdom. However, getting God's wisdom requires something. It requires something. And we're going to see in verse 9 what that is. Look at verse 9. It says, the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Ramallah's son. If you will not believe, surely you will not be established. Now, God's talking to Ahaz. God's given Ahaz some perspective. God has reached out to Ahaz with some wisdom and understanding. God is lovingly trying to get Ahaz to see that he can rely on God, on him, to solve his problems. But he warns Ahaz. He says, Ahaz, if you will not trust in me, then you won't be established. You will be destroyed. You see, it takes faith in God to gain wisdom and benefit from that wisdom from God. God said, after he, in James chapter 1, why don't we go to James chapter 1? Let's go to James chapter 1, because this verse really connects well with this passage. James chapter 1, it's near the end of the Bible, after Hebrews. James chapter 1, in verse 5, I read this, but let's read it again. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. You see that? That is the connection here. God has not changed how he deals with people throughout history. He reaches out to them with his love and his mercy in spite of our sinfulness. But he says, look, I've got these promises for you. I've got this protection for you. I've got this salvation for you. But you've got to trust in me. You've got to trust in me. And here he specifically says, if you want my wisdom, you've got to ask, but you've got to believe that you will receive that wisdom. And so faith in the Lord is central to our relationship with God. It's our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection for the forgiveness of our sins and the salvation of our soul that initiate this relationship with God, where we have salvation as our destiny, and where we can trust that our sins are forgiven. But it doesn't end there. Our faith in him will also provide us with the wisdom we need to face our problems. Notice in verse 9, it says, if you will not believe, surely you will not be established. Now we need to see that. We need to see how it coincides with this passage in James. Ahaz was blown like the trees in the wind in his heart because he wasn't trusting in God. You see, Ahaz didn't know how to trust in God. He had trusted in everything else the world had to offer and not in God. Chris Tiller offers this perspective about King Ahaz as he compares the life of Joseph, and many of us are aware of the life of Joseph, how he faced great trials in his life, and he overcame all of those trials because of his faith in the Lord. And so I want to read this perspective that Chris Tiller has as he describes the life of Joseph and Ahaz. He says there's a key difference here between Joseph and Ahaz. Joseph was accustomed to walking in the light of the Lord his God. In the current darkness of his situation, it wasn't so hard for him to adjust when the angel came in and flipped the switch. Ahaz had long been walking in darkness. He was not accustomed to trusting the promises of God. He was accustomed to scanning the darkness for any ray of light from any source whatsoever, even if it turned out to be a false light. When Isaiah flipped the switch, Ahaz clenched his eyes shut. Joseph was in the habit of looking to God. Ahaz was in the habit of looking to idols. Joseph was prepared to look past the immediate circumstances to envision God's promised future. Ahaz was overwhelmed by current circumstances and unable to see past them. You see the difference between someone who is walking in the Lord, trusting in the Lord, and how they are able to handle their problems, and the difference between that and someone who is walking in darkness, who isn't trusting in the Lord, who cannot see past their problems. It's a sad life, and God doesn't want that for us. He didn't want that for Ahaz. He wanted Ahaz to trust in him. But Ahaz couldn't take his eyes off the problem. And we need to get our eyes on the Lord. Oftentimes we do the same thing. We're so focused on our problem that we don't keep our eyes on the Lord. But in our problems, God wants us to focus on Him, not the problem. He wants us to focus on Him, not the problem. And a lot of times, He will bring the problem into our lives so that we will learn to focus on Him. That we'll learn to focus on Him. One of the classic baseball television shots comes from the 1975 World Series, in which NBC captured Carlton Fisk. I can see him jumping and waving his hands right now. Jumping up and down, waving his arms, trying to coax his hit to stay fair. It did for a home run. That colorful close-up that we would have missed had the cameraman followed the ball like he was supposed to. That was his responsibility as the ball was hit, was to follow the ball. But instead, the focus was kept on Carlton Fisk. The cameraman inside the Fenway scoreboard had one eye on a rat that was circling him. So instead of focusing the camera on the ball, he left it on Fisk. And that's what God does. Sometimes God brings problems like that rat in our lives so we'll keep our focus on Him. And that's what we need to see. So if you see a rat today, keep your focus on the Lord, okay? But we want to keep our focus on God. And that's what faith is all about. Faith in the Lord does not take away our problems, but it does give us wisdom to deal with them in a way that brings peace and calm when facing them. So let's trust the Lord. And finally, when a problem is at your doorstep, remember God wants to reveal Himself to you. Remember, God wants to reveal Himself to you. God, knowing Ahaz's lack of faith, asked him to request a sign from Him. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 7. So here's where this ties in with the promise plan of God. And we've been focusing on this promise plan of God. So God says, hey, ask a sign of me. Ask a sign of me, Ahaz. I really want to show you who I am. I want you to trust in me. So ask a sign. Ask a sign. Ahaz refused. His refusal was an act of unbelief, since the Lord was the one asking. The Lord said, hey, you ask for a sign. But he wouldn't, because he didn't trust the Lord. He didn't trust that the Lord would give him a sign. However, God insisted on revealing himself to Ahaz by giving his own sign. Now, this sign was given to the house of Israel. And it is here for all of us to see. And it is a promise of the Messiah. Look at verse 10. It says, moreover, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. Then he said, hear now, O house of David. It is a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. There it is. There's the sign. A sign from God for all to trust in. A sign of a coming son. The Messiah. His name would be called Emmanuel, God with us. And this son would be born of a virgin. We know who that is now. It's Jesus. Jesus Christ, the one who came to this earth, was born of the Virgin Mary, lived a sinful, perfect life, sacrificed that perfect life on the cross so that we could have our sins forgiven, and was buried and rose again on the third day, showing us that he has power over death and over life, and providing us with a marvelous sign of God's promised plan for all of mankind. It's displayed here and in other passages of Scripture, but we see here a wonderful microcosm of God's plan for each person and how he reaches out to each of us, even though we are sinners and even though we face problems. That plan involves you getting perspective and wisdom from God. It involves you having faith in God and his promises. And it involves us understanding who God is and what he has in store for us. When we recognize this wonderful plan that he is orchestrating in our lives, it will give us the peace that we need when problems are at our doorstep.